Good evening. My name is Richard McCauley, and I have to admit, standing in the back of the room watching the video again for probably the sixth or seventh time, it was quite humbling knowing that I was going to give my testimony tonight, hearing about the results, all the consequences, because I've lived through quite a few of them. But then it was uplifting at the end as well, talking about the benefits of exercising some purity and in your signal sexuality. So I thank Wes for giving me the opportunity to share my story with you this evening. For the first 40 years of my life, my view of single sexuality was focused on what I wanted and what I thought would make me feel good. As long as it was consensual and legal, I determined that it was okay. After all, it was my body and I was in charge. I had never given any consideration to God's word and what he had to say on the matter. I grew up in a spiritual environment that led me to view God as a referee with a whistle and a clipboard, just standing there keeping tallies of my transgressions. And I reached a point where I felt like that clipboard was thicker than a New York City phone book, and so I just gave up trying to be good. So truth be told, though, in all actuality, I was afraid to open the Bible. I was afraid to see what God's Word had to say about not just, you know, sexual purity, but about anything, because I was afraid that it was going to tell me that or keep me from the fun that I just knew was in store for me. But because I never considered God's word, there were consequences for my selfish and self-centered attitudes and actions. I had numerous relationships that were centered strictly on physical pleasure instead of true intimacy as God would have wanted me to have it. This led to emotional pain for myself and for others. I was unfaithful in my first marriage and ultimately had a child out of wedlock with that woman. This created guilt and shame for me that I carried for years and untold pain for her. But God, in his goodness and his mercy, used the wreckage that I was creating to bring me to the end of myself. And by the time my daughter was three, I'd been invited to attend Watermark and started attending regularly. The first ministry I participated in was divorce care. And this was a launching pad for me to respond to the relationship that God had always wanted to have with me. I began to spend more time in the Word and began attending Bible studies and allowing myself to be shepherded by good, godly men. And a couple of them are in the room here tonight, Bob Rudy and Wes Butler. So public thank you to those two guys. Among the many things that I began to learn was that my body was not my own. I learned that it was bought for me at a tremendous price. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 18 through 20 read, "Flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a person commits are outside the body. But whoever sins sexually sins against their own body. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies." In the past, I've had a view that if it was permissible, then why should I refrain? But I learned that God's word had a different perspective. Again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 22 through 24, it says, "You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but be concerned for the good of others as well." I've since learned to use God's word as the authority and guide for all aspects of my life, including what he has to say about sex. Not because God is trying to turn me into a priest or a monk, okay? God created sex, and he wants us to enjoy it. He just wants us to enjoy it in the confines of what he knows is best for us, a husband and a wife in a committed marriage. Before I move on, though, I want to take just a minute, and before I move on to tell you about, you know, how I started to apply this knowledge in my relationship with my wife, I want to just stop and give everybody a reminder that a new relationship potentially a sexual relationship with somebody new may not be what God has in store for you. It may be restoration of your marriage, or it may be singleness for you. So take some time to listen to the CDs that you were given when you first came to this class. Wes and I did a class a few years ago about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And in there, we talk about the permissions for divorce and whether somebody is biblically available to remarriage. And if you haven't taken the chance to listen to those, I would encourage you to do that. Before I started dating my wife, I spent some time talking with a good friend, Bob Rudy, about dating, whether I was biblically available, and what it would be like if we did date. One of the important questions he asked me was what our physical boundaries would be. I was unclear on that, but committed to discuss it with Roxanna, my wife, who's in the back of the room. And I committed to discuss that with her, set those boundaries, and agreed that I would share those with Bob so that he could hold me accountable as well. So Roxanna and I met. We had a pre-date before our first date. And we went out, we had some dessert together, and we talked. And I said to her, I said, there are three things that are really, really important to me if we're going to date, and I need to make sure that you're on board with me. And I said that Christ needs to be at the center of our relationship. And I said, she has two children, and I have a daughter. And I said that we need to do everything we can to protect our children's hearts. Just because we're interested in dating one another doesn't mean that this is going to turn into marriage, and we don't need to drag our children into this relationship as well. And I said, lastly, we need to have sexual purity in our relationship as well. And we need to set some boundaries as to what that looks like. And so we talked about that, and we determined for ourselves that our boundaries were no more than a kiss. I know of people who, prior to getting married, had never even kissed, and I admire the heck out of them. But for us, we agreed that our boundaries are going to be no more than a kiss with one another. And as I said before, I went back and I talked to Bob and the other guys in my community group and told them that these were our boundaries. And that they were to ask me about that regularly to make sure that I was treating Roxanna with the respect that she deserved. And guys, I'll take a second just to address you specifically. This is an opportunity for you to demonstrate leadership to a woman. Okay, maybe for me it was the very first opportunity for me to demonstrate leadership to Roxanna, that I was going to take the lead in initiating the conversation, that I was going to take the lead in saying, hey, this is important to me and I want to make sure that you're willing to follow me in this. Okay, and it was an opportunity for me to demonstrate to her that I intend to be faithful to God's word, and in being faithful to God's word, I can be faithful to her. Okay, and so that set the tone for our whole relationship with each other. So we talked about it, we set those boundaries, and we dated for 4 years. And yeah, we dated for 4 years and we stayed pure the whole time. Now, we had some hard times. It wasn't easy at times. It was very difficult, like they talked about in the video. We'd both been married. We'd both enjoyed the fruits of being married. We knew what was out there for us if we wanted it. Okay, but we agreed that this was the best thing for us. So instead of yielding to our flesh at times, at least one of us was always able to stay firm in our commitment to the Lord and to make our bodies a holy and living sacrifice, as we're called to do in Romans 12. We'd let our community groups knew when it was difficult for us, and they would step up the accountability questions, the phone calls, and the text messages. There were several times that maybe we were at one another's house and maybe watching a movie, and as Elsa talked about in the video, the temptation to get a little amorous with one another was starting to creep in when we'd hear the beep of a text message. And it was always the same friend of Roxanna's that was texting us. And I'm usually the one stomping the floor going, oh, there she is again, you know. But at the same time, I was thankful and Roxanna was thankful. And even at our rehearsal dinner, we specifically kind of called her out as a thank you for her help and being a faithful friend in assisting us in our purity. We learned to discipline ourselves, and when we were struggling, we even set boundaries that we couldn't even enter one another's houses. Okay, we knew that this was a difficult time for us for whatever, and we said we're just not going to put ourselves into a dangerous position, so we wouldn't even go into one another's house if that's what it took. We had a lot of dates at the Watermark Coffee Bar. We did. I would go up there after work, and she would stop and get some carry out for us, and we'd sit there and we'd have, you know, some Chinese or what, some Tex-Mex, and we'd spend some time in the Word, or we just spend some time in good conversation with one another, getting to know each other in a safe environment. Okay? We didn't have every one of our dates there, but when we knew that times were difficult and we were struggling, we wanted to make sure that we maintained our commitment to God first and to each other secondly. And so if that means that we needed to have our dates at the Watermark Coffee Bar, then that's what we did. So remaining pure was, I would say, was one of, if not the best decision that Roxanna and I made as a dating couple. Because of that, we were able to enjoy a gift from God on our wedding night. I might even get choked up here. I can tell you very few of the items that we got as wedding gifts from friends and family. No offense to any of you who are here. But the one gift that I did get that night and that Roxanna got that night and that I will never forget is being able to share intimacy with her for the first time. So I thank God and I thank Roxanna that I can now look our kids in the eye and speak with them with integrity and with honesty and with bold conviction about what it means to maintain your purity. That is possible, that you can do it for 4 years if need be. And they talked about that in the video, the example that you're setting. Not just for our kids. We had friends. We had family. I had friends who were not believers who thought that I was insane not to be partaking in the fruit that I could have with this beautiful, beautiful woman. And I said, sorry, it's a promise that we made to the Lord, and it's a promise that we made to each other, and I'm not going to do it. And so I can stand here today and let you know it's worth it. But I can also tell you that it's really not a question about sex. It's really a question of whether you believe God is good or not. It's what it really boils down to. Is He good? Does He love you? And can you trust His word? Or are you going to trust yourself? And I'm here to tell you, I've done it both ways. And I've had, you know, emotional turmoil. I've had a child out of wedlock, and going my own way didn't work. And then I've done it the way that God called me to do it. And it's one of the greatest decisions I've ever made. Thank you for letting me share.